Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra Daf Lamed Hei, Baba Basra 35a, pagination is 69. We're going to start on the facing page, three lines up from the bottom by the two dots. The discussion that we will have is at least to touch the surface of this topic when Beis Din, the court, is not able to verify which way we should paskin, whose money is it, according to the normal guidelines that we have, evidence, etc. And therefore, we're going to find three very different approaches that we're going to use depending on the case. And our Gemara will begin to give us some of the guidelines that are going to be considerations as we decide how to proceed. And the three cases that we're going to discuss are, number one, the case of people arguing about land, claiming each one that it belongs to them, it's been in their families for the longest time, ancestors, etc., and there's no evidence that anyone's bringing, and we don't know how to proceed. What should we do? A second case, where two people come into Beis Din, each one has a document that says that a property was gifted to them on the same day from the same person. And Beis Din has to decide which one is the real gift or which one somehow takes precedence over the other gift. And Rashbam points out that the approach of their time was that it has nothing to do with what hour it was given, because the actual gift would take place at the end of the day, and both of them are happening simultaneously. Which one should get it? And a third case, where again, we did not have evidence, we couldn't prove what was going on. The case of somebody who does chalipin, does an exchange on an animal, which is the case where they're not present at the time that the animal is being transferred. It's being transferred based on a kinyan that's happening somewhere else. And that animal was pregnant and gave birth, and it's unclear to us whether it gave birth before or after the kinyan act of acquisition took place, and therefore, who owns the child. All of these cases that were not clear how to proceed, and the evidence that we normally would base ourselves on is not available. And we're going to find three different rulings that apply in different situations. There's a ruling of when Beis Din is in doubt, throw it out. We can't deal with it. We're not going to paskin something that we don't have evidence for, and therefore we're just going to leave it, and the two people are going to have to work it out. That's expressed as kol da'olim gevar, whoever's stronger is going to get the better deal or the deal. A second approach is that they do a split, yachloku. And a third approach is shuda d'daini, which Rashbam says means an educated guess, to make an assumption based on what conjecture is available to them, which of the two they think the gift was really being given to. Taisvah says that Shuda Dedaini is a little bit more liberal, and it's really up to the judges to decide how this ambiguous Matana gift is supposed to take place. Let's see the Gemara. Zeoma Shalavose v'Zeoma Shalavosei. This one says it belonged to my ancestors, and this one says the same, and there's no evidence. Amar Rav Nachman said, called the Olim Givar, whoever stronger will win. We keep ourselves out of it because we don't have good reason to rule one way or the other. A little bit like in a doctor setting, the slogan of do no harm. Asks the Gemara, Umay shenam mishnei shtaros hayotzen biyom echad. Why is this different than two documents of a gifted item that are documented based on the same date? De Rav amar yachloku. Rav says, you're not sure, so divide it. The gift gets divided between the two people who both have a gift document. Ushmuel amar shuda dedaini. And Shmuel said that you should follow the estimation of the judges. Rashbam says, Shuda is Lashon Hashlacha. Shuda means to throw. Shadi biyamo, to throw into the sea. So, Beis Din is going to throw it in the direction of the person that they think most appropriate. Again, Rashbam learns, it's an educated guess. Tosfos Shuda Dedaini, midway on the page, says, Nira l'Rabbeinu Tam l'misha yirtza ha'dayan litein. Whoever the dayan thinks it makes more sense to give it to, v'lo kapirish ha'kuntris, and not as the kuntris writes, she'yamdu daito shal nosein, that they should estimate the intent of the giver. So however we understand it, but Beis Din is definitely stepping in this case of the gift document. Either they're doing a division or they're giving it to one party over the other. And this is the question, why did Rav Nachman learn rule by the case of real estate that both are claiming that it should be called the Olam Gevar, that we stay clear of the case and do not judge on it? Answers the Gemara, second line on the page, Hasam over there by the gift, Leka lemekim ala demilsa. There's nothing more to verify. It cannot be ascertained because they have gifts documented from the person on the same date. There's nothing more to do, and the question sits in front of us, and therefore we can proceed. Hacha, but over here, by real estate, which is the topic we started with, Ika lemekim ala demilsa. There might still be verification that comes through. We're starting now without any evidence. Not for him, not for him. But if we wait, we might get some evidence. And therefore, there's a downside to moving forward and ruling in such a way, such as division or estimation or whatever you might want to suggest, because you might end up with Ivus Hadin, where they have to acknowledge that the previous ruling was incorrect now that more evidence is available, and you start wondering, what did you base your judgment to begin with on? And therefore we don't proceed as Rav Nachman ruled in the case of real estate that has no evidence one way or the other. The Gemara continues to probe this topic and asks, Umay shena mayhad etnan, why is it different than this that we learnt? Hamachlif para bachamor v'yolda. A person was switching a cow with a donkey, and because they're doing chalipin, they're not present in the place of one of the animals. They're doing the chalipin, the exchange, somewhere else. When one acquires one animal, the other animal, wherever it is, automatically transfers to the other person's possession. V'yolda, it gave birth, and we're not sure when. Ze omer ad shelo macharti yolda, the next line. This one says it occurred before the sale took place. V'ze omer mishelo kachti yolda, and this one says it took place once I bought it, and therefore it gave birth in my possession. Yachloku, the ruling is that they're going to divide it. And again, we have this question, why do we step in and cause a division over here, whereas we did not cause a division in the case of real estate that Rav Nachman ruled on? The Rashbam explains, following his explanation of Shuda de Daini, that it's an estimation on what the person who gave the gift intended, he says, that's why Shuda de Daini, according to Shmuel, is not relevant over here, because there are no reasons to assume that the animal gave birth more while it was owned by this one than by that one. That's not something like estimating the real intent of the person who gave the gift. So that Shuda de Daini is not relevant, and that's not part of the question. But the question is, you have a ruling of Yachloku over here, and called the Olam Gevar over there, and your answer of Leka Lamekam Allah de Milsa, maybe information will yet come, that's relevant in this case as well. Maybe information will yet come, and we did do Yachloku, why couldn't Rav Nachman also rule Yachloku? And the Gemara answers, Hosam, Lahai Islay Durara de Mamona, Ulahu Islay Durara de Mamona. Both of the parties doing the exchange have a closeness of money. There's a legitimate claim that we can understand and we can identify with. Hacha, but over here, our original topic of real estate, idemar lo demar, if it belongs to one for generations, then it doesn't belong to the other. V'idemar lo demar, and if it's the other ones, it has nothing to do with him. And therefore, we do not step in with a yachloku. We're really stuck. We're stymied. We're confused. And we just stay out of it. And that's why Rav Nachman ruled, what will happen is called the Olim Gevar. Whoever stronger will end up with it. We're really waiting for more evidence before we can do anything. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.